Well, Ms. Koppel, first, I have to tell you, and I know you get this all the time, and you're probably sick of hearing it, but Harlan County, USA, I think is the best documentary film ever made.
Nobody has ever said that.
I'm sure they have.
No, they haven't. My word of honor.
I think it's an astonishing achievement.
Well, thank you very much.
It's really just sort of beyond belief what your camera captures.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like an Elia Kazan film, but a real film.
Uh-huh.
But yet your resume is so much more than that. American Dream. You have this ability, I think, to capture the little guy who nobody would ever know about, like in American Dream in Harlan County, but yet Wild Man Blues with Woody Allen.
Right,
so talk
right.
to me a little bit about the challenges of filming that subject matter, but also addressing celebrities, because there's not just Woody Allen, there's Mike Tyson, there's Gregory Peck. What draws you to both sides?
I think it's not so much about the celebrities as it is about the story. And for example, Wild Man Blues, Woody Allen, I mean, he was petrified about going to all these different cities. You know, he didn't want to go, so that's what his nervousness was about. Like, can't I just go to one or two cities? I mean, I have to go to Turin, and I have to go here, and I, you know. And it was also his first time out with Suni, you know. So he was more involved with that. So that was a verite film. So we just followed him, and he was, you know, hysterically funny. He had me in stitches most of the time. I did the sound on all the documentary. And I remember one scene, he and Suni were walking, and there was lots of paparazzi, and they were all taking his picture over and over again. And he said something like, it's the same picture, right? I mean, why do you have to take the same picture? But anyway, it was wonderful. And Gregory Peck, it's his 100th year centennial this year.
Yes.
And they're doing a lot of things. The film was just on Turner, and the Smithsonian just showed our film, of which I was here, so I wasn't able to go there. A conversation with Gregory Peck, and he was just, he's like Atticus Finch. He's just like the person that, if you ever saw To Kill a Mockingbird, that's who he is in real life. And his family is wonderful. His daughter Cecilia and his wife Veronique, all wonderful human beings. So full of humanity.
Did you ever approach a celebrity to do a documentary about, and it turned out to be a completely different person than you had anticipated?
Well, I never really anticipate once somebody says, you know, they'll do it. Mike Tyson, for example, I did a film on him. And before I did a film on him, he was, you know, in jail for the rape of Desiree Washington. And I thought, okay, great, good, they got him. And then somebody called me up and said, how would you like to do a film on Mike Tyson? All of that just left my mind, just left my head, and I just took him and everything he was about for who he is. And I think that's what you have to do, where he grew up and all the dreams that people wanted for him. For example, Customato wanted him to be the heavyweight champ of the world, and he thought, along with being heavyweight champ of the world, you know, you've got girls, because girls were throwing their underwear and whatever at him. And you see underneath, you see their soul, you see who they are as people.
Do you think a documentary filmmaker needs to have that flexibility to come into a project and just see where it takes you?
Well, I think each person does their documentaries different. For me, that's what I love. I don't know about anybody else. I mean, everybody, some people are in their documentaries, like Michael Moore or, you know, others. We're all different. We all take different approaches.
Do you think that's your personality, or do you think maybe you learned that on Harlan County? Because one of the things that astonishes me about that film is you started to film one story, and it morphed into another. Isn't that right? You started to film the
Miners for Democracy.
Yes, and then the strike happened,
right.
And you switched gears.
Right. Well, that's because Arno Miller said, you know, we're going to organize the unorganized. And this was his first place, and I wanted to see if he would keep his promise. And yes, Harlan County. But you don't go in with a prescribed plan because it's real life. And real life takes you around whatever corner it's going to take you, and you just have to be fast enough and together enough to go with it. Mm-hmm.
Do you take a certain politics into your documentaries, or do you try to leave any politics that you might have at the door? I'm thinking particularly the great voice that you've given to unions in a couple of your films.
Right.
Because obviously someone like Michael Moore wears that on his sleeve. Uh-huh. You don't seem to. You seem to be entirely objective.
Well, no, in Harlan County I was not objective. I lived with the coal miners. They took care of me. I was very much for them. And in American Dream, it was very complicated. It was, you know, three different sets. It was, you know, the people who were gung-ho, and it was the people who had decided that they weren't going to cross the picket line, but they didn't believe in it. And then it was the union leadership not wanting to see the plant go bankrupt. So I just sort of let it play out.
Okay. But is that issue near and dear to your heart, or is it just something that happens in your films?
Whenever I'm doing a film, the issue is near and dear to my heart, yes.
It shows. It shows. Okay. And I guess what I meant by being completely objective, I would say that every filmmaker has their own views, but the beauty of your films, I think, is you let the story tell itself. I mean, you let the characters sort of dig their own graves, so to speak.
Never let them dig their own graves. These are not grave diggers. These are go-getters. Not grave diggers.
Yeah. I'm thinking, who's the wonderful, and I hate to use the word villain, in Harlan County.
Oh, Basil Collins.
Basil Collins.
Yes.
Yes. Whatever happened to Basil Collins, do you know?
He passed away. He also had survived the Bataan Death March in World War II. So he had had a tough life.
I read that about him.
Yeah.
He was a
fierce guy.
Fierce, very fierce.
Yeah.
So tell me about Sharon Jones. Tell me about this film. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but
okay.
What brought you to this topic?
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about the film.
Sure. I have these two friends, Steve Mintz and Brad Abramson. And I had done a film for them called Woodstock Now and Then, which celebrated the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. And we had such a good time making that film. They called me up and said, how would you like to do a film about Sharon Jones? And I said, are you kidding? I would love to do a film about Sharon Jones. And they said, well, she has cancer. And I said, okay, well, that's good to know. And so a week later, her manager, Alex Cavden, called me, and he said, Barbara, I know nothing's been solidified, but Sharon is having her dreads cut off and having her head shaved. Do you think that you could start the film? I said, absolutely. And that was my first encounter with Sharon, was watching her dreads be cut off and holding them in her hand and having her head shaved and really going through a transformation. And then the next scene I filmed was her getting, which was the same day, her getting back to her sense of humor of trying on wigs and being really funny. And, you know, I saw a whole different person emerge. And I think being in such a situation made us very close because it was a very intimate moment to share with somebody like that.
How do you deal with these emotional experiences? I mean, what you do with your films, it seems to me, you would have to be emotionally involved with these people. Can when you're done with something like that, can you leave it behind?
Never.
Do you stay in touch with subjects?
I totally stay in touch with my subjects. Even the ones in Harlan County, their children and their grandchildren are calling me still.
That's fantastic.
No, once you signed up for it, they're we're all part of each other's lives. Sharon just sent me a painting, Draw by Number, because that's what she's doing in the film. And mm-hmm. I just got it like a day or two ago. It was sent to my office. I can show you this picture. So no, we love each other, we support each other. And
have you been tempted to go back and revisit a lot of the subjects in film form?
Oh, it's nice.
So.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, they're part of you. They're part of your soul. They're part of who you are.
Wonderful. Well, I know you have lots of other people who'd like to talk to you. I could talk to you all day, but...
Well, but you probably have lots of people to talk to.
No, you're the one I'm here to see. So.
Yeah.
No, you really are. Thank you. So you've been very inspirational. I didn't go to film school. I approach it from the journalism side
Great.
Of film. So yeah. Documentary films are extraordinary for me. I've never seen anything quite like Harlan County. And your other work is fantastic, too.
Well, thank you very much. And you're going to see the film?
I will. Yes, I'll absolutely see the film. I'll see it on Wednesday night.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Are you going to do a Q&A after the film?
Yes.
Great.
So you can ask me questions.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
All right.